Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
With a new generation hitting the workforce under the labels coddled, lazy, and entitled, it's easy enough to place the blame on parents for raising spoiled children. But are they spoiled? In his new book, The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging the Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting, Alfie Cohn looks at this issue, and we're lucky enough to have him join us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
We have spoken to you on a few occasions, the last being your book, The Homework Myth. What brought you to the idea of children being spoiled?
Whenever there are claims or practices that are widespread and seem to be contradicted by what good research says, I'm interested. And I've been trying to debunk the conventional wisdom when I think it's off base for many years. And, you know, this is the conventional wisdom in our culture, as you just described it, that kids are spoiled, entitled, narcissistic, and so on, and continue to be the case as young adults. And that parents, on the one hand, are failing to exercise discipline and set limits. They're too permissive, on the one hand. And on the other hand, that parents somehow at the same time are over-parenting. They're helicopter parents. They're doing too much. So I decided to see what the data really say and what deeper assumptions and beliefs seem to drive these beliefs in the absence of good supporting data.
So let us start with a baseline, and that is a definition of spoiled.
Well, some people use the word to refer to kids having too much stuff. I'm not interested in that in the context of this book. Most people mean it otherwise, to say that kids think they can do whatever they want, and they run roughshod over other people's needs. They make unrealistic demands, that they're entitled and self-centered, that sort of thing. Although, interestingly, a whole bunch of unpleasant adjectives are attributed to kids as if they all meant the same thing. The people who accuse kids of being spoiled are the ones who have the burden of showing, here's what this means, here's exactly what I'm accusing them of, and here's my evidence for it. And you almost never see that. You just see a string of snarky anecdotes as if we're supposed to take on faith that they're representative of the population at large.
You talk in the book about this decades-old tradition of having one generation blame another generation for their children and how they turn out. And ultimately, you conclude that there really was no such thing as a golden age where we did this right.
Yes, I start The Myth of the Spoiled Child with a bunch of quotes from current cranks about how in the good old days it was different, unlike today when kids are spoiled and et cetera, coddled. And then I back up to a couple of decades to find that people were saying exactly the same thing and hearkening back to yet an older era. And then I back up and show that people were saying the same thing. You can go back decades, maybe centuries. So I mean, that in itself ought to make people claiming that things have never been worse than they are today sit down and shut up. But the other thing about this that disturbs me is, even if it were true that kids at some indefinable period in the past never talked back, never asked questions, did what they were told, were compliant and docile, that's not the good old days. That would be worrisome. So it's the belief about what constitutes a desirable set of attributes of children that should bother us as much as the false assumption that things were materially different back then than they are now.
So are you arguing the numbers, or do you believe there really is no such thing as a spoiled child?
Oh, no, I'm sure there's such a thing. You can come up with any adjective you want, good or bad, and you'll find some examples of it. What I'm challenging is the belief that it's widespread, and that more kids are like that now than used to be. So there's really no good data to support those claims. People want to believe that for reasons that I think are kind of interesting. And so they disproportionately notice and attend to and remember and invoke those examples. You know, I just saw a kid yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I held the door open for him. I didn't even say thank you. That's what this generation is all about. You know, this kind of thinking says more about the people who talk this way than it does about the children who are being described.
Does it also come with a term in the sense of, you know, I think of terms that come along that are perhaps more innocuous, like, you know, soccer mom or soccer dad, and you look at something like a helicopter parent, so that when we have a name for it, then we try to fuel that so that it will become more.
Yeah, sometimes that's a media created and made for the media term, if ever there was one, the idea of helicopter parenting. The question is there any good evidence for it? Probably not. But you may be right that just the creation of the label then fuels the assumption that here's examples that make the label meaningful, but it's completely a construct. Well, I looked at with particular energy at the claim about helicopter parenting of young adult children, for example, kids who are off at college. And what I found, first of all, is, because there is now some evidence just in the last few years about it, and the first thing I found is that it's very rare. You know, that's why all the articles about helicopter parenting never cite data. They just have a few anecdotes and quotations from people who agree with the author. The second thing I found is that when parents are very closely involved with the lives of their children who are away at college, those kids actually tend to do better on average, psychologically and academically. So the real concern we ought to have, if we kept things in perspective, is kids who don't get enough support from their parents, not kids who get too much. And the third thing I found is that it's not one size fits all. There are differences in how much support from parents young adult children need, depending on, for example, whether they were the first in their families to go to college, whether they come from working class backgrounds based on gender and ethnicity and so on. Kids who are raised to value interdependence don't tend to fare as well when they're dumped into an environment where the only thing that matters is independence. That's not a good fit. So there's much more to it on many levels than the usual shrill cries of parents who are doing too much for their children and not preparing them for the real world.
The literature on this has a parent showing up with their kid to a job interview. So is that not happening at the alarming rate that we are told? And another point that you make in the book is that, as you say, being an involved parent, even if you're over-involved, is ultimately less dangerous than being detached.
Yes. To the first point, I'm only aware of one attempt to do a pretty wide survey to see at businesses, workplaces, to see where their parents do things like show up at job interviews. And the only study I could find showed it was extremely rare. I'm sure it happens sometimes, but when you focus on that, on those unrepresentative cases, that's saying something about your need to, for ideological reasons, to condemn this instead of the much wider problem, which gets to your second question of parents who aren't supportive enough, and a kind of support, emotional as well as financial, that young adults really need these days, many of them graduating with humongous loans and a very bad job employment picture, and cultural shifts where young people get married and have children later than was the case a few decades ago. But there's one more element to this with helicopter parenting or over-parenting of children of all ages that I should mention. When parents do this in a way that I, too, think is not very helpful or healthy, typically what's going on is not parents who are being too indulgent, which fits into the conservative ideology here, of bashing parents for doing too much for their children. The problem is control, that the parents in those cases need their kids to need them, and because of their own emotional stuff, end up tightly regulating children who need more autonomy. And when you look at it that way, this is just an extension of the bad old days and other forms of top-down control, a more authoritarian approach that serves kids very poorly. And thus, that challenges the whole right-wing narrative that has been accepted, even by people who are politically liberal. That was the thing that really struck me and in some ways prompted this whole book, was that even people who are relatively progressive on other political issues suddenly sound like they're on Fox News when the conversation turns to children and parenting. Mm.
You address this in the book. So what should we be doing? As parents and as a culture, what should we be doing?
Well, first, we should be questioning media-driven myths and our own beliefs about what's good for kids, and trying to figure out what we have good evidence for and what we don't. But what kids need is to be respected, to have their perspectives and their desires and their way of looking at the world taken seriously. A working with approach makes more sense than a doing to approach. What kids need is not to be controlled, but to be supported, to be loved unconditionally, which means for who they are, not for what they do. They should never feel they have to earn our attention or our care. And then we need to support them in learning how to make decisions. You know, kids learn how to make good decisions by making decisions, not by following directions. And so too often what we end up hearing is that we need more strict discipline, more limits being set, more of kids being kicked out and made to solve problems on their own and held accountable. And above all, what we hear from this perspective is conditionality, as if all interactions in life, even in a family, were like economic transactions where you have to earn whatever you get. That's what drives the conservatives absolutely nuts, is the idea that kids would get stickers or praise or good grades or trophies without having earned it. You know, it's really this sensibility that we're giving away stuff to children and they get away with too much. And we have to take them down a peg to prepare them, because life is unpleasant. And the best way to get kids ready for that is to make their childhoods unpleasant. And that's the sensibility that I try to unpack in The Myth of the Spoiled Child.
The flip side to this, and I kept on thinking of this while I was reading the book, is there's another myth out there that kids are growing up too fast.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I mean, in the introduction, I list all the things we are accusing kids and parents of, and they're really hard to reconcile with one another. You know, parents are helicopter parents. On the other hand, the parents are ignoring their kids because they're just focusing on their smartphones, you know. Or kids are too pleased with themselves when they haven't accomplished anything, but on the other hand, they're so miserable they're in therapy. And parents are permissive, letting kids get away with everything, but at the same time, they're over-parenting them. Yeah, kids grow up too fast. They're not growing up fast enough. Anything that's disparaging to children and comes from a traditionalist point of view is accepted. And you see this in article after article after article. This is the conventional wisdom now. And the amusing thing is that people who write these articles in the New York Times Magazine and the Atlantic and the New Yorker and on umpteen blogs seem to congratulate themselves for their courage to say exactly what everybody else is saying.
The name of the book is The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging the Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting. It is published by DeCapo. Alfie Cohn, thank you so much for being with us once again. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for your interest.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, The Myth of the Spoiled Child by Alfie Cohn, published by DeCapo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.